We serve an awesome God who wants what's best for us. And I think one of the toughest things for our Father is to convince us that's exactly what he wants for us. Because there's times, I know in my life, where it seems like he may not. And most of the time it's because of him chastising me and correcting me. And, you know, I think about us as fathers and mothers. You know, one of the most disappointing things is whenever you're trying to lead your kids in the right way to go, and they treat or they may act like we're trying to hurt them. But think about it. You know, there's times where we do that with our Heavenly Father. So just think how much it hurts him. It hurts us. So you know it hurts him. Because he's the Father of all fathers. And he cares for us. And he wants what's best for us. Got that figured out. Check me out. Phil gave me some good instructions, though. He's very good at that. Just sometimes we bad at taking them. So here we go. We'll get right in. And Yom Kippur. You know, this is the most important celebration of the year for us. The Day of Atonement. I'm just going to go through the slides before I get ahead of myself because I feel it already. So, what happened on the first day, on the first Yom Kippur? That's what we're going to look at. We're going to start from the beginning and see how it started. And actually, it started in the garden. Pastor Josh mentioned that last night. But we're going to start from whenever it was actually instituted with Moses. So Exodus 32:30. On the next day, Moses said to the people, "You yourselves have committed a great sin, and now I am going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." And let's backtrack a minute. This right here is whenever Moses was with the children of Israel, and Moses went up to speak to Yahweh on behalf of the children of Israel. He was going to speak to them. Well, little did they know, the children of Israel, that he was making provisions for what they were about to do. They were about to sin against God. But why are they doing this, right? Because they convinced Moses was up there for a while, and the children of Israel was getting, it was getting concerned, or they was getting antsy. I shouldn't say concerned. They were getting antsy, you know. So they convinced their leader, Aaron, to make a golden calf, make an image for them to worship. Well, while they're doing all of this, Moses is receiving instructions from Yahweh to build the temple. Yeah, I mean, he covers everything, the temple, the sacrifices, the priestly, he covers all of this stuff while this is going on. Because they didn't just build it, they worshiped it. And they made sacrifices to it. But yet, our loving Father, he pulled them, why did he pull them out of Egypt? To show them there's a better way. To set them up to succeed. And what did they do? They decided they wanted to do something different because Moses wasn't there. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has committed a great sin." So Moses seen what they did. And they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out your book, which you have written. The Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. So Moses is the atonement. He went up before Yahweh, and he stood in the gap, you can say, for the children of Israel, because he asked Yahweh if he could atone for their sins. All right, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The Kohen, the Gadol, or the high priest, could only go before Yahweh one day of the year on this day. That's why this day was so important, because he could only go one time. Once a year, the high priest can go. He can go into the temple, but as far as the Holy of Holies, he couldn't go in. He couldn't go in. On the Day of Atonement, all Israel would recommit their lives to Yahweh on this day. So what they would do is they would reflect back. And you know, I look at this day leading up to this. You know, I reflected back on my life, because this upcoming year, I want to make improvements, right? I shouldn't be the same. Remember, we don't want to look 5 years down the road and we just owe the version of what we was 5 years ago. That'd be crazy, because we don't have to be. You know, the Bible teaches us that we can grow in faith, we grow in love, we grow in joy, we grow in all of these things. So we should never be stationary. We should always be growing in something, because there's a lot to grow in. Leviticus 16:3. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place, and Aaron's the high priest, with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle. And with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water before he put them on. So he had to wash himself before he put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering which is before him, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. So before he makes an atonement for anybody, he has to go in and make an atonement for himself and for his family. I forgot my water. Because if he didn't, and he went into the holies of holies, what would happen? He would die. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, one lot for Yahweh, and the other lot for the scapegoat. So they had these 2 goats, right? And they cast lots for them. Because one would go to Yahweh, and one would be for a scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which Yahweh's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. So that would be the sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. So what would happen is that goat would be brought before Yahweh, and all the sins of the people would be put on that goat. And they would let it go into the wilderness. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And getting back to the scapegoat, it's written in the Talmud that sometimes the goat would come back, right? with all of the sin, it would come back to the camp. And you don't want that. The goat's supposed to be gone forever because that's the sins. So what they started doing was taking it out to the brow of the hill and pushing it off. And if you remember, Yeshua, it happened to him. They didn't actually push. He was able to get away. But remember, whenever he went, he walked into the temple, and he grabbed a scroll, and he started reading from the scroll. And the things that he said upset the people, because he said that he was the anointed one. And they didn't like it. But he said a lot. So they tried to bring him out to the brow of the hill, but he was able to get away from them. But they was wanting to push him off because they didn't want to hear that stuff anymore. The Day of Atonement, and this is a picture of the sacrifice animals to atone for the high priest and his family. It was the ram and the bull, and then a scapegoat. It was both, obviously, goats. Yeshua took the place of both of the sin offerings. Of both, the sin offering and the scapegoat. So Yeshua took the place of both of them. He goes before the Father, and his blood is what covered our sins. So it's also a time of, it's a time of dividing. And we're going to look at some in the Torah, and we're going to look at some in the Brit Hadeshah. The two goats of the Levites, the two goats of Leviticus, outlines a curious ritual involving the sacrifice of two goats. Lots were cast over the goats, and one goat was chosen to be a burnt offering to Yahweh, and one goat was called the Azazel goat, which was the one that the sins were put on. Yahweh's goat offered the high priest as a sin offered by the high priest as a sin offering represents Yeshua's sacrificial atonement for our sins. The Azazel goat, also called the scapegoat or goat of departure, spiritually represents the entire removal of sin's defilement from the tabernacle and camp of Israel out into the wilderness. In Psalms 103:12, where Yahweh removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. In Leviticus 16 says that this goat makes atonement for our sins. Exodus 32:26-27. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, now this is going back. I put them two slides I just did. I thought I moved them, but I didn't. So we're getting into the two separate. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on Yahweh's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him, and he said unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So there was a separation there. He separated them. In Leviticus 16:7, that shouldn't be there. All right. This is the two scapegoats. I put that picture up there so everybody can see it. I'm still working with these slides, man. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for Yahweh and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which Yahweh's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. All right, we just read these, but hey, we're hearing them twice. So the Brit Hadashah, and again, it's a time of dividing, and we'll see what it happens in the Brit Hadashah. In Matthew 25, 31 through 34, and this dividing is what, I should explain this, but the dividing is what takes place on Yom Kippur. It's a dividing, and it takes place on this day. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So everyone that I'm reading actually happened on this day. And these didn't happen yet. They're yet to be fulfilled. But the other ones did in the Brit Hadashah. You know, whenever Moses separated the people, it was on Yom Kippur. That's when he did it. And in Matthew, this is just another picture that this is about a landowner who went out and he sowed seed in his field, and the seed was wheat. But after he sowed it, an enemy came along and sowed tares. And so his servants see it and they go out and they tell him and they ask him a question. They say, "Should we pull the tares up now?" And he said, "No, because you can damage the wheat." So once it reaches its full potential, then we'll go in and we'll separate them. All right, again, that's another separation. He said, and there's a different separation. He said that the tares, whenever you pull them up, you put them in bundles and burn them. So that's not good. And that's also a picture of the church. You know, that's why two-thirds is going to, they're going to be misled. So what should we be doing at this time? What should we be doing? Is it just like regular church? Should we make a couple changes? You know, stuff that we should know. And we want to know. Or we should want to know. Leviticus 23, 26 through 34. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh, your Elohim. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. So this is explaining what we should be doing. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. It shall be a Sabbath rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. On that day, he says that the priests would make an atonement for him. But, you know, it's something that we don't need the priest, right? Because we had Yeshua. So this is the time that we humble ourselves and we ask God, we reflect on our past and on our mistakes. You know, if we truly humble ourselves before God, we're going to see where we made some mistakes this year. Because what we do is we open up ourselves to the Father when we humble ourselves. We open ourselves up to Him and He shows us, right? Because He loves us so much, He don't want to keep us the same. He wants us to change. So whenever we avail ourselves to Him, He shows us these things where we can make improvements. That way when next year comes around, we're better. We're not the same, but we're better. Afflicting or humbling ourselves, repent and obey. That's what we're doing. When we humble ourselves, I'm going to tell you where it brings us to repentance. It brings us to repentance. Because we recognize that without Him, we can't make it. And we won't make it. And then we obey. The things that He shows us, where we were making mistakes or we went wrong, we don't do that no more. We correct them and we obey. It's a time of humbling ourselves. It's a time of self-examination. It's a time of examining our attitude and actions towards others. This is all things that we should be examining. It's just some. Because remember, we're examining our whole life, everything about us. Because we want to make sure that whenever He returns, when we hear that trumpet, we're getting ready. We're getting ready for this day. So we humble ourselves and we make sure that I'm searching every part of my life. I'm leaving nothing out. And there's only one way we can do that is if we avail ourselves to the Father. And He'll show us. But if we hold anything back, we won't cover every area of our life. Because we have to give all, right? Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We have to humble ourselves. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted or return, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yah. Times of refreshing. And look, we've all felt that. You know, whenever we repent, because we know we messed up. And He steps in. And He comforts us. And we feel that refreshing. Feels good. It feels good. And after this, after Yom Kippur, tomorrow, you know what we should feel? Refreshed. Ready. Ready to do whatever it is the Father wants us to do. No strings attached. He gave Yeshua as the final sacrifice. What should we give in return? What should we give? What should we give? Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. Our life. He gave a life. His only son. So I think we owe him our life. Not think, it's something that we know. We owe him our life. That's what he expects from us. It's all over in the scripture. He wants our life. He wants to use us to impact people's, other people's lives. But if we hold him back, it's hard to do that. That's why we have to give our all. So this is two stories here that most everybody knows. Story of Zacchaeus. You know, it's an example of repenting and obeying. You know, Jesus was coming into town and Zacchaeus, folks didn't like him, right? Because he's a tax collector. Nobody likes tax collectors. The other tax collectors don't like tax collectors, you know. Because, you know, they're afraid they find out something about him. But anyway, so Jesus is coming in the town, and, I mean, he everywhere as he goes, he draws a crowd. There's a crowd of people there, Zacchaeus, small fella, so he climbs up in a sycamore tree. I remember the song. I want to sing it right now. So he climbs up in a sycamore tree, and Jesus sees him. And he says, come down from the sycamore tree because I'm going to your house today. Going to your house, right? I'm still singing that song. I'm trying to quote the scripture. It's not working. So Zacchaeus comes down and he makes a statement to him. He says, half of what I have, I give to the poor. And, boy, that song stuck in my head now. And if I cut anybody short, I repay them fourfold. And what he was saying is, he was sorry for what he did, but now he wanted to obey. He wanted to obey the master. Right? So then the story of Jonah. You know, God speaks to Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah don't want to go to Nineveh. There's a reason why. That's some pretty bad people. They're out there on the island by themselves, them islanders. Well, he didn't want to go. So he jumps in another boat to a boat going to Tarshish. Well, everybody knows the story, right? It gets rough. Bad. So bad, all the other guys, Jonah's sleeping. All the other guys are trying to figure out who's the bad apple on the boat, right? Well, they figure out Jonah's the guy. So Jonah decides that he just needs to abandon ship, right? So he tells them to throw him off the ship. Well, God prepared a fish to swallow him, put him in a belly. And while he was in that fish, he repented. He knew he messed up because he didn't go where God told him to go because he didn't want to say what God was going to tell him to say because them people were bad and he didn't like them. So the fish spits him out and he goes there and he says what God wants him to say. And here's where this story takes a crazy twist. He did what God told him to do and the people responded. Because he told them in 40 days, y'all done. And they believed him. So they repented and put sackcloth on. Here's where the crazy twist are. Jonah gets upset. That's crazy. You did what God wanted you to do. You see, I mean, I'd have been pumped up. Like, yeah. You know, I serve an incredible God. Well, he was mad because he didn't like them people. And he wanted God's vengeance on their life is what he wanted. You know, in the story ends, he goes on, you know, he leaves out of there, gets away from the people, And I don't know what happens to Jonah, but he was upset, and the story ended. So I can't imagine it's a good result for the fella. But Jonah repented, and he obeyed. And that's whenever we humble ourselves, that's what it makes us do. It makes us repent and obey. So we'll look at the importance of blood and life. The token of the new covenant, Matthew 26, 27, and 28, and 1 Corinthians 11, 25. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." In the same way, 1 Corinthians 11, 25, in the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So it's the blood, the importance of the blood. It's the blood that covers our sins. Gives eternal life. John 6:53 and 54. So Yeshua said to them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Brings redemption, Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption or payment through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Makes atonement. The blood makes atonement. Romans 3:25, 1 John 2:2, and 4:9. In 10. Whom Yahweh displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. Propitiation means to satisfy Yahweh's wrath against our sin, or to atone for it. Messiah's sacrificial death is the means by which Yahweh's just wrath is turned away from sinners. We'll look at the other two in 1 John 2:2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. If it was up to him, none would perish. Everybody would come to the saving grace of him. In 1 John 4:9-10, by this the love of Yahweh was manifested in us, that Yahweh has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Justifies before Yahweh. The blood justifies before Yahweh. Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of Yahweh through him. Gives us forgiveness. Ephesians 2:13, Colossians 1:14, and 1 John 1:9. But now in Messiah, Yeshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. We've been brought near by that blood. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the blood provides us with reconciliation. Colossians 1:19 through 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or in heaven. Provides cleansing. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in that light, that same light he walks in, it never moves. It stays the same. There's two different lights we can be as a believer. All right, you can take a box of fireworks and light them, and they go off, and it's nice and pretty, real bright, but eventually they go out. Or we can be a lighthouse, which never goes out. I remember times in my life where I was fireworks. I'd go off, you know, because you're up and down, right? And our goal is what? To get level, no matter what happens. What we're going through, we don't change. It doesn't change us. We stay the same. And it don't come easy. It's tough. It don't come easy. It don't come easy, but it comes. If we keep growing in God, it will come where we won't have to deal with the up and down. And if you're dealing with that, I encourage you, don't give up. You keep going. You keep growing in God. You keep doing what he wants you to do. You keep obeying. You keep humbling yourself. And it will happen. The blood enables us to be overcomers. Revelation 12, 1. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. And we were purchased with blood, Acts 20. 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his blood. So we should be on guard for each other. We should watch for each other. We should be praying for each other. That's part of that. Be on guard. Pray. Pray for each other. Pray we have strength. Pray we get through whatever we're getting through, whatever we're going through. We are not self-redeemed. So there's nothing we can do to make it better. There's nothing we can do for the Father to accept us. It's only through His Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. We have to go through the Son. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. So that it doesn't matter what we do. You know, we can't pay to get in. You know, we can't sacrifice anything to get in. For though, Jeremiah 2:22, for though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith my sovereign Yahweh. And that word nitre is, it's a mineral. 95% of it is used for agriculture, but 5% of it is used for soap. They make soap out of it, and it's real good soap. So it don't matter what we do, we can't cleanse ourselves. We're not self-cleansing. We can't atone for ourselves. It took somebody, the Messiah. He did it for us. He stood in our stead. Whenever we were still out there doing our thing, Messiah died for us. So we can have a shot at eternal life. Even those who trust in their wealth, Psalms 49:6-8, even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to Yahweh a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever. So we should never try that, because it doesn't work. Our works don't get us in. We can come to church every day and do as much as we can. It don't get us in. It's not the works. You need them. You need them. But it's not solely on our works. Hebrews 10:4-6. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me, and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. So the bulls and goats, it doesn't do anything anymore. Yeshua did it. Romans 2:3-4. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of Elohim? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of Elohim leadeth thee to repentance? It's the goodness that leads us to repentance. Whenever we think about his goodness, how good God is to us, it leads us to repentance. We want to repent because we know we can do better. So who will redeem us? And I just put this here, everybody, by now everybody knows this. But we're going to look at it. Psalms 49:15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. Yeah. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So, there it is there. And that's it. That's all I had. So...